How do we worship? For the last three, well, this is the third Sunday, we've been talking about worship, the sacrifice of worship, and what worships really mean. And today, the reason I'm here is because I need to be a worshiper, like you, like me. I don't need to be out there. I am a worshiper. That's my call in life. I need to be worshiping. I'm part of the community. I love worship. And there are many ways to worship the Lord. There's not only one way, but many ways. And we will get to the truth of what Jesus is saying in here. But I just want to let you know that there's not just one way to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I come from a long country back in South America, and we worship differently. Okay, there's people talk more aloud. It depends where you go. Okay, but people are different. Worship sometimes is defined by our cultural views and so on. So my favorite worship, I need to tell you, it's not Spanish worship, right? It's Brazilian worship. When the Brazilians worship, I'm like on the floor, literally. Yes, okay? It is because it's so beautiful. I know a little bit of Portuguese, but I'm not going to sing in Portuguese because I don't have anything prepared here. But it's so, so good. And sometimes we made the mistake of judging people because of the way they worship. And I don't think that is something that the Lord is pleased about. And certainly I learned the lesson. I used to be on the ship, and we visited many different cultures and many different ports. And every single one of the people that we met, they were amazing people, beautiful people, but they worship in different ways. So one day I was in Colombia worshiping in a small church, and the music was salsa. Right? Can we play salsa? Not, yeah, okay. Right? And the music was salsa. And, you know, and I learned to play, to dance salsa with my sister. And I'm quite good at it. Right? Give me a tune, I'll be dancing. Right? And I had this conflict in me, thinking, I dance salsa, not in the most religious way, you know, in churches, because in my culture, that doesn't work. How am I going to do this? How am I going to go and worship this song and the tune of salsa? Dun, 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 and I literally, friends, my feet were going like that. And I was like, stop it. Stop them. Right? Because the tune and the, you know, the music was amazing. So I just decided just to close my eyes, and I just went for it. So at the tune of salsa, worshiping the Lord, I was dancing away. And then we went to other churches, and they worshiped differently. Worship is not about it's not much about the form, but it's about the heart. And I was able to translate this into something that I was uncomfortable with at the beginning, but then I joined in and I loved it. So next week, salsa. Not really, but the truth of worship that we will hear now is there is no one way of doing it. And the closer we get to it, it is in Acts chapter 2, where they were all together in one room praising God. And, you know, and it says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of other people. We are not told in the New Testament what way to do it. There are principles, but it's not a form. And I love that because God is multicultural. God is multicultural, and he speaks in cultures in ways that we might not be familiar with. But this morning, we're going to talk about three things. Worship not, right? Worship spirit and truth, and worship the Son. And I think if we get to this, we will get to the heart of what Jesus is saying here. So worship not. I've got a couple of verses in there. Jesus is like really cunning here. Jesus is having an amazing conversation with this woman. And somehow Jesus, through a spiritual insight, is getting at the heart of the woman's frame, heart, spirit. He is speaking to her. And she realizes at one point that what he has in front of him is somebody greater than anybody else she has met before. And then they get into this more or less theological discussion about worship. Okay? The woman, Jesus replied, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Okay? "Samaritans, you worship what you do not know. We worship that we do know, for salvation is for the Jews." You can read for yourself, and if you can do that, it will give you an insight of who the Samaritans were. And there's explanatory verses in 2 Kings chapter 17. But the truth was that Samaritans and Jews, they didn't get along. They didn't get along together. So basically what happened is that the Jews said, "This is our mountain, Zion, Jerusalem. This is where we worship, and salvation is going to come from here." And Jesus is right. But the Samaritans said, no, you're wrong. No. "Our fathers worship in this mountain, different than Jerusalem, because this is our fathers. Our fathers taught us to worship in this way." Jesus said to her, "You don't know what you're talking about. What we have here is two different cultures that are clashing. One is saying, this is the way to do it. The other one is saying, no, I disagree with you." Jesus is saying, "You don't know what you're talking about." So who is right? What is the right way to worship? Who is right when we come to worship? But amazingly, John writes in the most beautiful way in the Gospel of John. Amazingly, they agree in one thing. And this is what they agree on. The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Now, think for a minute. When the woman said those words, she was talking to Jesus. And it is so interesting to note that both Samaritan and Jews, they believed in the same prophecy. In fact, it was in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. And the reason they believed that is because the Samaritans believed or accepted only the five first book of the Bible. They rejected all the prophets and the Psalms and so on. But they hold really dear the first five books of the Bible, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. And this prophecy is here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. And it says, "I will raise up from you a prophet like you among your fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell everything I commanded him." So they both agree, Samaritans and Jews, that one day the Messiah will come. But she did not know that the Messiah was standing just in front of her, speaking to her. So, this leads me to believe that Jesus is saying these amazing words. "Woman, the hour is coming." That's interesting. It's a very clever way that John writes the gospel. And this leads me to my second point, which is spirit and truth. "Woman, the hour is coming." Slowly, gently, Jesus is steering the conversation to where Jesus wants to go. And again in the Gospel of John, we read these words, "The hour is coming, the time is coming," meaning that John was writing about the death, time, hour of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So throughout the gospel, we see this. "The time is coming, the hour is coming, when I will be exalted." And slowly, John, and indeed Jesus, is saying this. Woman, she said, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. That is a big clue for us to understand what Jesus is meaning by worship. And then he said, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and truth. Now, sadly, the NIV, our version that we are reading from now, doesn't really make justice to the text. Okay? Because when it says here, it says in verse 23 and 24, the time has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. That's incorrect. It is just one word, in Spirit and truth. Okay? It is incorrect. It is just one word, in the Spirit and truth. There is no in before the truth. Okay? And the reason I'm saying this is that sometimes we can get into this theological mindset that people might go into, oh, just worship in the Spirit, or I just worship in the truth. Okay? In the Greek, in the original, there is not that division. It's just one word. And I thank the Lord that that is the case. Because it is, after all, freedom. It is not either or. It is both. In the Spirit and in truth. Oh, I just said it. In the Spirit and truth. You see how easy it is to get confused? So, it is just one word. The Lord is seeking those who will worship him in the Spirit and truth. Not in the Spirit and in truth. This is important because that is the kind of worshipers the Father is seeking. When we come to worship, we come, as Alan was saying, we come before him as a whole. We don't come just with my mental capacities. We don't come just in the bodily form. We just don't come expecting that my spirit is going to soar or engage with the Lord. We come as a whole. As you, as I can see you now and you can see me. There's no division in it. And this is why it's important. Because when the Lord and when Jesus is saying, the Father is seeking that my worshipers will be spirit and truth, he's saying that my followers know the Spirit and know the truth. I'm going to say that again. He's saying that my followers can engage with me because they know the Spirit and they know truth. Because God is Spirit and God is also truth. God cannot lie. There is nothing dark about the Lord. He is light. He is love. He is mercy. He is compassionate. He is forgiving. He is generous. He is faithful. His word here, there, the word that you have in your pews, the word that I believe you read on the week, the word of the Lord is truth. His Spirit is what makes the Word become alive. So when we worship in Spirit and truth, we're saying we come as we are. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to worship. We come as a whole, together. And we come in the Spirit and truth. Why is this important? Because of this verse. Let me go back. Let me read it again. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Let me ask you. Have you been found by the Father? the Father is seeking. So let me ask you this morning, have you been found by the Father? Because that's what he's saying. This is the kind of worshipers that my Father is seeking. I want to believe that this morning you have all been found by the Father. And if you are not sure, let's have a cup of coffee. Let's chat. Let's talk. If you're not so sure, because this is the truth. This is the Spirit working together. Have you been found by the Father? That's important. And his worshipers must reflect the nature of God, Spirit and truth. Now, I could end there, but I will miss out something very important. Because true worship is not the way we do things in here. It's not the way we sit down or stand up. By the way, if you need to lift up your hands, do it. As long as you're not poking somebody's eyes or slapping somebody, that's okay. But if you feel that you need to stand up, if you feel you need to put your hands up, please do so. Please do so. You are allowed. Okay? And don't worry about what people may think. Because you come to him. And this is why it is important. Worship is not just about singing. It's where the affections of our heart are leading to. So let me ask you this morning. Where is the affections of your heart leaning towards, to Jesus or to something else? You see, I think I said this to somebody during the week. I used to be like, you know, Richard here and the guitar, worship. For a whole year, I did worship on the Logos 2, on the ship. I was there. And that's where I met my wife, Denise. A good call. But for a whole year, I was like, guitar. And, you know, the program manager will see, okay, who can lead worship? And Dario, you go from Monday to Friday, different conferences, and you need to worship. No problem. The guitar, plug it in, tune, ready, boom, sing. Till one day, I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying, stop it. What are you doing? You're performing. But I'm so good at it. You want me to? No, yes. This is, your heart is completely detached to me. Completely detached. And I thought, I need to lay this down. And I knew it, you know. You see, to be found out by the Lord works two ways. That day I was found out. That I just was plugging the guitar in with the band, ready to go, worship, 500 people, sing songs. Unplug the guitar, see you later. My heart wasn't in it. I wasn't worshiping. I was performing. The other thing is this. sometimes... I have learned this through the years. Sometimes I sing, but I'm not singing. Have you ever had that experience? I'm just repeating the words that are on the screen. But my heart is not engaged with it. And it could be, a hymn. And other people are going like, yeah. And I'm going like, I'm thinking about time. Thinking about, well, maybe people think about, what are we going to have for lunch? I need to do this. A, B, and C. My week is looking really busy. And all the time, you know, we're going, thank you, Lord, or holy, and your mind is completely away. Is it me or just anybody else? Okay, don't put your hands up, okay? I think it's all of us at one point. And it really doesn't matter if it's the most contemporary song, with a lot of, you know, drums. And thank you for coming today. I want to honor you. Bless you. Or it could be the organ. Either or. I have been in places where I'm like, I love the tune of that song, but I am like completely disconnected. Or I can be in a place where the organ is being played and the hymn with beautiful words, and I'm completely disconnected. True worship and how we worship is connect our hearts to Him. We need to lean towards Him. We need to show our affections to Him. And for some of us, it's okay to raise your hands. If you feel that that is okay to show your affections to Him. Why am I saying this? It's because of my last point. Worship the Son. John wrote early on, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the representation. He is in bodily form. He is the Spirit and truth. And people saw Him and they realized, oh my word, just now Jesus walked in here and we all saw the glory of the Lord. Imagine that, if Jesus walked through these doors, what will be our response? How our hearts are going to be feeling if Jesus opens that door and start walking and start walking from that, from there to there, or He sits next to you? What would you do? This is the thing, friends. This is it. This is why worship and why we worship and how we worship is so important. Because He is so attractive. So amazingly beautiful and attracted. Not just to look at, but also to hear. People, when He spoke, thought He speaks with a different tune, with authority. And people wanted to be around Him. And when the kids were around Him, He told the religious crowd, said, "Get away from me now. This is my time with the kids, with the children." Because they got it. They got that He is so beautiful, so gentle, so amazing. I don't know if you noticed this, but in chapter 4, we have a description of who Jesus is. In verse 29 and 25, He's Christ, the Messiah. In verse 18, 19, He is the prophet. In verse 26, He says, "I am." In verse 42, He is the Savior of the world. So how do we worship? We worship by coming before Him, by saying to Him, "Take me as I am. I give you my all. I'm going to pause there. It doesn't matter if you sing out of tune. Okay? Don't be embarrassed. Okay? If you're out of tune, who cares? As long you're engaging with your heart. Because that is what He's looking at. He's looking at your heart. Are you engaging with Me? That's how we worship. That's how I'm here. That is why I love worshiping the Lord. And I know perhaps you're thinking I'm quite wild and put my hands up. And I am. Because I'm a lover. Because I love Him. And because every time I love Him, He overwhelms me. And when I'm overwhelmed, I don't know what it is. But it is like I'm here sitting, but I'm not here. And it's like being transported. I don't know if that is the theological word. Don't quote me in that, will you? Please. Now the minister said we've been transported. Whoa. No. Awful. No, don't be tweeting that. But you know what I'm trying to say? It's like heaven coming down here and we step into the heavenlies. We just cross the line from earth to heaven. Worship is about being found. And being found by the Lord is the most beautiful, beautiful thing ever. And as a church, as a community, yes, we will sing modern stuff. We will sing some old stuff. The most important thing for me is that you engage with the Lord. And that's why I love this song. When the music fades and knowledge strips away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that is of worth, that I will bless your heart. That is why we're going to sing it now. And that is why we're going to stand up and forget about who is next to you. And focus on the one who wants you to be found this morning. Because he is here.